Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Crowd is whipped into a frenzy. Mahomes in a shotgun. Three to the left, one to the right. Here's the snap. Pass rush coming. Mahomes retreating. Heaves it down the field. And it's knocked down and incomplete. And that's the ball game as the Bills escape with a 28-21 victory.
Thank you to the Bills Radio Network. A regular season win for the Bills over the Chiefs. Stop me if you've heard that one before, but Pearl, it has not meant anything when it comes to the postseason. Yeah. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. You know, I'm not going to say this game meant absolutely nothing, though, because to me, if the Bills are going to eventually vanquish the Chiefs, which there is no evidence to say that they will do such a thing, but if the tides turn and somehow Buffalo does eventually get through Kansas City in the postseason, they have such a better likelihood to do that at home, in my opinion.
Yeah,
and I know they what you need mean. These wins, especially now with the Patriots continuing to win. They're at 7-2. You know, the Colts lost yesterday, but they obviously are not a fluke. There's just a lot of competition here near the top of the AFC, even though the AFC is not that great this year. And the Bills need to stack wins if they're going to get the Chiefs at home to try to fulfill the destiny of Josh Allen, which is to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, the issue is for the Patriots to play nobody. I mean, the only team they play the Bucs, who are kind of beat up themselves, and then they get the Bills. But other than that, it's all the worst teams in the league play come through New England. I don't think New England's going to be dangerous in the playoffs yet. I think next year they're going to be amazing, but they could steal home field away. I'm not worried about that. I think the AFC title game's going through Buffalo because Buffalo's schedule is also easy. So that you're right. I think that makes a big difference if Baltimore gets there. Baltimore's not going to win in Buffalo. Lamar can't play in the cold weather. All the stats prove that. I was killed for saying that last year, but it's definitely true. And then the Chiefs, so do you really feel more comfortable in Buffalo or KC or anywhere? Because the Chiefs can win in cold weather. They've proven it many times. They can win in Buffalo. We'll see what the Chiefs are. You know, the Chiefs were limping around on the offensive line a lot last night. When the Chiefs lose, it means it's always the same thing. It's their offensive line falls apart. Last night, it was a disaster. You were mad because they didn't go for the touchdown at the end of the first half. It's because their offensive line was getting no push in the run game. They was basically Mahomes try and freelance and make a play, and that wasn't happening yesterday.
Yeah, it was, I thought, a huge moment in the game, even though it happened in the first half. It was at the very end of the first half, and at 4th-and-1, you're at the goal line, and Andy Reid decided to kick a field goal. And
the problem with me was the first run play, you're running out of time, and you have one timeout left, and you run it into the line. Like, what did you expect was happening? That was a bad play call right there.
Well, it worked later in the fourth quarter when Kareem Hunt ran through the Bills' defensive line for a touchdown.
But it wasn't the same clock situation.
That's fine, and that's true, but you're telling me you have one of the most creative offensive head coaches in the NFL. You have Patrick Mahomes. You have all of your offensive guys, at least your skill position guys, are healthy, and every team in the NFL, I think, would have gone for that on a 4th-and-1.
No, I don't think so. It's a different situation. It's 4th-and-1 with the time running out. It's your last play. One of the reasons you go for it is because you pin the other team down at the 1-yard line. That advantage is gone. They were getting the ball back. They were starting to move the ball back on offense. If they had gone for it, I'm telling you right now, there was an 80% chance they weren't getting it. They weren't even close on the three previous plays. And in fact, all night long, I don't know how, but the receivers were covered the entire night. Patrick Mahomes was under 15 for 34. There was nothing easy. He would drop back again and again and again and not see anybody. And then the pressure would get to him.
The pressure would, but they still, like classic Mahomes fashion, how many times? I think 3 different times he found Travis Kelce, including for, I believe Kelce was the 2-point conversion after the Kareem Hunt touchdown. But the 4th-and-17, every time they needed that big chunk. And I was actually really surprised on the Hail Mary attempt. There were 2 Hail Mary attempts, really. On the last one you just heard, we played on from Bills Radio. The Bills actually rushed 5. Oh, my gosh. Shock. This is from Bill Barnwell, okay? So Bill Barnwell does writes about NFL for ESPN and is very stats driven. And we know the teams have access to all this stuff. So according to the next gen stats, with the Andy Reid, Pearl, kicking that field goal at the end of the first half as opposed to going for it on fourth and one. Next gen had kicking the field goal versus attempting to go for it as a -7.5% win probability swing for the Chiefs. Now you're like, Maggie, -7.5% win probability, that's nothing. Guys, teams make decisions on like 1.5% win probability. So 7.5% is actually massive. So I was surprised from the eye test and from the numbers.
Oh God, the eye test. The eye test was KC just like, get out, get off this field. There is no way they were converting. I'm going to say that right now. Like, those plays were so ugly. I don't even know what to make of honestly, they need a new running back. I'm sorry. Kareem Hunt, this is 2025. Are we really doing this? Is this their best option?
Well, Pacheco was hurt last night, so he
wasn't. Well, Pacheco is even worse. I mean, Pacheco should not be your starting running back either. I worry about that run game, especially if the O-line's going to be limping around. So that's my concern with the Chiefs. Like, the Chiefs finally get their receiving game all straight, and now the offensive line looks bad. I'm a little worried about them, but again, come playoff time, if Mahomes gets to Buffalo in the AFC title game, I am betting on Kansas City.
5-4 now for the Chiefs, 0-4 in one-score games. Next up at Denver and then home for the Colts. Let's get to the NFL in 60.
Maggie and Perloff take you around the league, recapping this weekend's football action. Time for NFL in 60.
Just a quick programming note, we will go back to talking about the World Series at the bottom of the hour. Brian Kenny is going to join us from MLB Network. So just a heads up there. And we'll be playing Japanese highlights till the end of time. All right, EJ, who's our first game?
All right, earlier in the year, Cam Ward gave us We Ass. Now we have Chase Brown finish the effing game. Bears beat the Bengals 47-42 after the Bengals give up a long touchdown to finish this one.
Yeah, to me, I go on the Bears side. Ben Johnson is sort of forming the team in his fashion. 283 rushing yards after the game. You know, he's Dan Campbell crazy. I don't know if you guys saw his post-game press conference. Luckily for them, they got out of there with a win. They should have won that game in regulation easily. I took away, I know all the attention went to Flacco coming up with loss, but the Bears are playing the way they kind of Ben Johnson wants them to.
Yeah, they had some trick plays and stuff, kind of leaving Caleb Williams out a little exposed, I thought was a little bit odd. But the Williams to Loveland, Colson Loveland, the 58-yard touchdown with 17 seconds left to go. That was the Bengals' big defensive letdown. But Pearl,
one of them.
But think about this. How many people have maligned the Bears for not taking Ty Warren and taking Loveland? And he actually had a big game yesterday. But Flacco was the story. We have to figure out a category to put Joe Flacco into because he's not a Hall of Famer. But the guy threw for 470 yards yesterday. He's 41 years old and talking about how he likes to eat dinner alone now. Like, where do we put this dude? It's like not Vinny Testaverde exactly off the couch. I don't know what to do with Flacco. He needs a new lane. Old awesome guy.
All right, let's go to Detroit where J.J. proved just like in Michigan. He just wins. Vikings beat the Lions 27-24 in J.J. McCarthy's potential lineup.
Yeah, very interested to see how McCarthy would do in this game, considering we all believed he was kind of shadow benched because he took forever to come back from an ankle sprain. And when they needed him, 3rd and 5 with 1:41 to go, up 3 points. A beautiful back shoulder throw to Jalen Naylor, and that was the nail in the coffin. The Vikings defense, though, Pearl, to me, was actually more of the story than even McCarthy because they had Goff under pressure all day.
How did that happen? Why did the Vikings look like the Denver Broncos and just destroy Jared Goff from the get-go? That was my shocking thing. We had been talking about the Vikings defensive line coming into that one. Yeah, the thing is, they're still 4-4. It's going to be really hard to sneak into the playoffs in the NFC. It's going to be so competitive for those wild card spots.
A crushing loss for the Packers as they lose Tucker Kraft to a knee injury. Panthers going to Lambeau, pull off the massive upset, 16-13.
I'm starting to ask questions about Matt LaFleur. That kind of home loss to a team like the Panthers, who are probably better than we think, still, he just does not have a consistent plan or message. Like, what is the identity of the Packers? They want to be a run team, but their run game is incredibly inconsistent. They want to let Jordan Love cook when they need to, but then I don't know. He just misses plays. I see this as a coaching failure. I really worry about that guy. I feel like they have a ceiling with him. He's a good coach, no doubt. But it feels a little bit like Sean McDermott of Buffalo to me.
I mean, they were 1-for-5 in the red zone. I know you lose Tucker Kraft, but you've got other weapons. I mean, you got Josh Jacobs. You've got Romeo Dobbs. I mean, this was shocking. And to me, Carolina, like, I think they took this personally. They got their butts kicked last week against Buffalo. They let James Cook run all over them. And I think they were selling out to stop the run, and there were not enough explosive plays from Jordan Love to the rest of his receivers, and especially when Kraft is out. Christian, think about this. Romeo Dobbs, 7 catches, 91 yards. Christian Watson, 58 yards on 2 receptions. Like, they were actually getting guys involved. It just, without Matthew Golden, without Jaden Reed, and without Tucker Kraft, it was curtains.
Sometimes you can avoid charging but still lose the war. Chargers beat the Titans 27-20 but lose all-world tackle Joe Alt to an injury.
I mean, if we keep in the book right now, we ass.
Listen, Chargers to me, like, this one did not look as pretty as, but Justin Herbert felt like he kind of took that game over at the end. Justin Herbert, I've been kind of a naysayer of his, Pearl, because when it comes to the postseason, he's had some major flops. But I think this year he's been, like, the dude at the end of games. So my bigger takeaway was about how Justin Herbert, like, would not let them charger this game away.
Well, yeah, I mean, my takeaway is Joe Alt, they pulled the card on. I know it's a high ankle sprain, but this feels really bad. And without Rashawn Slater, who was lost in the preseason, I think you immediately lower the expectations. Depends. I guess they'll probably say something today about how severe it is.
So that's why the Falcons cut Parker Romo. I mean, the Patriots cut Parker Romo. Parker Romo misses an extra point that allows New England Patriots to hang on in Foxborough over the Falcons 24-23.
What a great game, by the way.
Not Drake, if you're London, a Falcons was, fan.
Drake London invented high pointing in this game. this is Penix. You know, Penix once again had some great plays and missed some things as well. This was awesome. Credit to the Patriots for pulling it out, but Parker Romo, you kind of saw it coming too, right, Maggie? Because this is who the Falcons are.
Oh my gosh. I mean, is there any bigger tease in all of professional sports than the Atlanta Falcons? Like, I root for a hard luck franchise, and I still can't imagine being a Falcons fan. You'd have to pull your hair out. They should have won this game, Pearl. And it would have put a stop to the Patriots. Now they've won 6 in a row. Drake May throws a bad pick. He got sacked 6 times in this game. And this offense, this amazing offense for Atlanta, just could not come up with a score when they needed it. That was disappointing for the Falcons.
Wow. I mean, listen, if you're a football fan in Atlanta, at least you held off Florida. I mean,
that's
I don't
a
know.
Great point.
Inside that stadium, they certainly seem diehard Falcons fans, but I don't know. You say, if you're a Falcons fan, like, what, where do you turn at this point? It's been so many years of 7 or 8 wins in a row, and this year's going to be exactly the same.
The 49ers made it look like it was on easy mode when they traveled to MetLife Stadium. 34 points and 25 first downs against the Giant defense. They beat the Giants 34-24.
You know, we were talking, by the way, about Sam Darnold was 15 for 15 the first half. Mac Jones went a long time without
14
throwing.
14 for
14. 14 for 14. He looks amazing. I know it's against the Giants, but are we having a conversation again about Mac Jones versus Brock Purdy?
Oh, that's interesting. Hey, listen, what are you going to do? The team's up 2 scores, like, right away. Before you could blink, the 49ers are up 2 scores. Christian McCaffrey had all things going. But I thought Jackson Dart was still really good in the game.
Yep,
that's why
too.
I don't understand why people want Brian Daboll gone and Joe Shane not gone. Like, Joe Shane, the GM, is the one who's got to go. I don't know if I see as Dable's got to go.
Well,
the head coach.
Yeah. So, you're saying that Shane should go and not Dable?
I'm going to say, listen, you probably are going to fire both if you're going to fire either of them because they were a package deal coming in. But I think that the GM has done a worse job than the head coach has. But listen, the coach's, his record speaks for itself, is bad.
Bo Nix does it again despite 3 difficult...
Bo Nix.
Bo Nix.
Right, sorry about that. Bo Nix this weekend. After 3 rough quarters, the Broncos score 11 unanswered in the fourth to come back and beat the Texans 18-15. C.J. Stroud goes out in this game with a concussion.
And much like Perloff's Bo Nix Halloween costume from Friday, which was inspired Pearl, you put that costume on for the last segment of the show, and this is so true to form because Bo Nix only comes alive in the fourth quarter of these games. They outscored Houston 11-0 in that final quarter, and it was the Bo Nix, a 25-yard scramble on a 2nd and 7 that really set up the final magic there. And, you know, for Denver, this is becoming their MO. This is who they are.
I learned something great in this game, and you guys might already know this. I'm trying to. Do you guys know why Woody Marks is called Woody Marks?
Why is Woody Marks called Woody Marks?
Every year for Halloween as a kid, he dressed up as Woody from Toy Story. So, and his real name is Jaquavius, and somebody couldn't pronounce his name. So the mom said, just call him Woody because he loves Woody. That's awesome.
And that's a model of consistency. The same Halloween same costume and they year had a picture after
of,
year?
They had a picture of it. He was so cute as Woody. He just had to be Woody every year. So that's how he got the name Woody Marks. Texans are very hard to watch on offense, by the way.
Jaquavius, Woody, same.
From Indiana Jones to Davy Jones, Daniel Jones's five turnovers certainly haunted the Colts as they lost to the Steelers 27-20 in Pittsburgh.
You know, obviously Daniel Jones wears it in this one, the three interceptions and multiple fumbles. But how about Jonathan Taylor? Maybe these things go hand in hand, Pearl, because the Steelers kept scoring off of these Colts turnovers. 57 yards from scrimmage after all that MVP buzz last week, only 57 yards from scrimmage, and obviously it shows when you can't run the ball, Daniel Jones becomes pretty easy target.
By the way, Daniel Jones still threw for 342 yards. I mean, he was throwing. That guy makes some plays, but he was at the end of the game, he was trying to force it, and that was a death knell for them.
Let's go to the 4 o'clock window, where, as Herm Edwards said, you play to win the game, but sometimes by doing that, you actually lose the game. Raiders lose to the Jaguars at home 30-29 after going it for two in overtime.
So the fight thing, it was a 10-minute overtime.
You play to win the game.
It was 10-minute overtime. The Jags took almost the entire overtime period on their go-ahead drive.
Yep.
So the Raiders were kind of rushed. They did get to the end zone. I guess that there was no doubt they were going for two. Listen, they were 2-5. What's the point of getting a tie? It still felt like that was over in a heartbeat. Like, oh, they got back. Boom. It was a very flat feeling for me to watch them fail that two-point conversion.
Yeah, and the ball got batted down. So it's like there was a play made. And this game was 6-3 at halftime. And 9-6 after the third quarter, then touchdown, 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 field goal, end of the half, and then both teams score in overtime. But to be honest, like, the best unit on the field is, even despite giving up those touchdowns in the fourth quarter, the best unit on the field is the Jags defense. They might not be a fluke, Pearls, all the takeaways, but unfortunately, big loss with Travis Hunter going on IR after suffering an injury in practice last week.
Is it really a big loss, though? Well, sadly.
I mean,
like, what's it impact, the offense or the defense?
Good question.
Also, by the way, and you said this on Friday, like, man, the Raiders are a different team with Brock Bowers on the field. That is the offense. He's got to be the most valuable non-quarterback to their team. Like, they are just a totally different team with him.
Tyler Shuck takes an L in his first career start in Los Angeles. Rams win an easy one, 34-10 over the Saints.
Yeah, did I watch this game? Not so much. I mean, that was it over like 13 seconds in? Devontae Adams is like, is that guy going to age? Remember, I always say 30-year-old wide receivers hit a wall. He's still amazing. I felt like he could have had even more touchdowns in this game. Not much to say. The Rams just keep on slugging along, playing nobody. We'll see. The Saints, I love that. I don't know why they took Tyler Shuck in the second round, because they are all about the quarterback next year.
Yeah, this was a laugher from the very beginning. I mean, you had the Dodgers win the World Series on Saturday night, and then Rams just with a, you know, easy win on Sunday, and the Chargers also won, so USC also won, so everything coming up LA this weekend. Matthew Stafford, according to Stats and Info, fourth player in NFL history to have 20-plus passing touchdowns and two or fewer interceptions in their team's first eight games of the season, joining Rodgers, Mahomes, Brady. You called it a couple years ago, Pearl, Matthew Stafford a Hall of Famer.
Oh,
it's a no-doubter now.
And it was a masterclass from Sam Darnold on JSN as they easily beat the Commanders in Washington 38-14. Commanders suffer a massive injury with Jaden Daniels going out with a dislocated elbow.
Such a letdown game here from Washington. I mean, Seattle came in and absolutely shoved these guys around, Pearl. That was like the best functioning offense I feel like I've ever seen. Was it Clint Kubiak was their offensive coordinator? And Darnold looked amazing in the throwback Seahawks jerseys, which were just sick. And the Commanders, this is like the obvious regression season. But I didn't think it would happen this fast, this swift. I thought they would still be like an in-the-hunt playoff contender. But with Jaden Daniels now hurt, their defense is old and ineffective.
You know who I think takes is a symbol of their futility this year? I think it's going to be Terry McLaurin, who held out and then it's not there. Basically, this happens. It's a little different than, say, Brandon Ayuk with San Francisco because McLaurin's older. Like, he's like, I need this money. And now he's just not on the field for them. And he would change their offense a lot. But it was the defense. Sam Darnold looked like he was playing a video game. It was so easy for him doing his reads. And I knew coming in it was going to be a Sam Darnold love fest, and it really was.
Okay, there you go. That's your NFL in 60. We will get back to the World Series in just a moment. Brian Kenny from MLB Network will put this whole thing in perspective for us. Did we just watch one of the greatest, if not the greatest, World Series of all time? We'll do that next. M&P.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. There's a lot of NASCAR talk in the bullpen today.
You guys don't usually talk about race car driving. What changed this weekend?
There's super fan Sydney Sweeney was in the crowd dressed appropriately for her.
God bless.
Appropriately.
Yeah, God bless.
That's a loose term.
When your jacket's longer than your shorts, how would you describe that?
Memorable.
Yeah, what has she got? She's everywhere now. I mean, is it just me, or is she becoming a little overexposed?
Well,
no pun intended.
When you're, I was going to say, I saw the other dress. She was definitely exposed.
Yeah, when you're on WFAN with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata and you're Sydney Sweeney, you may be overexposed.
Did you know Sydney Sweeney was on our sister station across the hall last week?
did I not come running to tell you guys this? So, I mean,
I didn't know. No one told me.
I was indirectly involved in this because she was coming on. I can't remember if it was Tuesday or Wednesday, but it was at 1 o'clock Eastern.
Okay.
And the last thing I do before I leave here is the
at 1 9 a.m.
as you guys. At 1 p.m., I do the sports update on WFAN. And the producer of their show came to me and said, hey, we might come to you early, or would you mind recording the update because we have Sydney Sweeney on.
Wow.
And I asked three different people to confirm because it made zero sense.
Did you get a glimpse of her?
No, it was on the phone.
Oh.
Did you know it was on the phone? Because your first question must
I knew
been.
From the beginning it was on the phone.
Oh.
So immediate disappointment.
Premature.
Yeah.
Also, Sydney Sweeney on the phone does nothing for nobody.
Exactly.
I will quit!
Would anybody here have hung out in the studio if Sydney Sweeney was coming in at 1 p.m. Eastern?
Manny was.
Are you guys drunk?
Yeah, okay, here's a question. Would you hung out here for
7 p.m.
Honestly, what else is Manny doing?
Would you hung out more for Sydney Sweeney or Jalen Brunson?
Oh, Jalen Brunson. They'd camp out.
What was that?
Who would you hang out more for, Sydney Sweeney or Jalen Brunson?
Oh, the King of New York. That's not even a question. I'm insulted you even asked me that. Jalen Brunson.
Fair. They'd pitch tents in the newsroom if Jalen Brunson was coming.
No, Manny would. You think the average guy would wait for Jalen Brunson?
Calm down. Calm down.
I meant like a shelter.
Yeah. Surely.
Yep.
Anywho.
I would. Yes, I would. I would. Like, if I were in Krzyzewskiville.
Also, yes.
Yes, I would pitch a tent. Like,
yeah, but this you'd is be alone for Jalen Brunson.
I'm a game stop.
You'd literally be the only person out there for Jalen Brunson. The entire newsroom and 10-10 wins across the street at CBS News, all the entire male population would have been over here for that.
And I would have been first in line.
You know, she's single, are the rumors out there.
Oh, yeah. Score one for Manny. I'm on my way. I'm going to slide in those DMs.
No, you could have met her. Well, you can't meet her in person. You probably could have. You could have bribed Pete Hoffman to pick up the phone.
I asked that.
You're like, hey, you give me 10 bucks and I'll pick up the phone for Sydney wow. Sweeney. Yeah.
That sometimes doesn't work out the way you think it will. Because I once asked Dan Patrick if I could pick up the phone for Mike Schmidt. And I said, hi, Mr. Schmidt. My name's Andrew. I was a huge fan as a kid. Is Dan there?
Oh, man. Wait a minute. You crush me all the time for calling people legends and making them feel old. You just said, I loved you as a kid to Mike Schmidt?
It didn't matter. I could have said, I don't even remember exactly what I said. He was not listening. Is this Dan? If not, then I don't want to talk to you.
Or maybe he thought you were Dan, and maybe that's why he was confused. No?
No. He had no time for young Andrew Perloff. No, he was just one of those guys straight to business. It happens a lot when you pick up the phone where you're like, oh, I'm gonna have a great conversation with this potential guest, and then they don't turn it on until they get on the air. They're like completely like, okay. Oh my God, I'm so happy to be here. You and your crew, you guys are amazing.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, where were you 30 seconds ago?
Yeah. I know. I've had that happen with two different people. And the only thing that mattered was the interview went really well.
Yeah.
So I don't care that they didn't want to chit chat it up with me beforehand. But one was Dion.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah,
Dion did not want to chit-chat at all before the interview. Then the cameras turned on, and he was exactly what you thought. He was excellent, and so I appreciated that. And the other one was Marlon Wayans.
No.
Marlon Wayans wanted to do no chit-chat before. Totally fine. And then all of a sudden, the camera started rolling, and he was A-list Hollywood, like, hilarious.
That is such an odd feeling, though, because I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, a lot of times you meet these celebrities, a celebrity row for the Super Bowl, and they're usually nice there.
Yeah. When they're turning it on, turn it up. Okay, let's turn our attention back to the World Series, shall we? Plenty of stars there, including Sydney Sweeney, turned out for one of those Dodger games. I think I remember that correctly. And let's welcome in Brian Kenny from MLB Network. Brian, thanks so much for the time, man. What a series. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Brian, you still there?
Yes, hello.
Okay. Sorry, I thought I cut out for a second. All right, we're trying to put this whole series in perspective, and I think a lot of questions you're going to get asked is we're not trying to be prisoners of the moment or anything, but we feel like we just watched something historic. How are you putting this World Series and maybe specifically Game 6 and 7 into context in terms of the greatest of all time?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I'm not automatic, especially today. Today's media, it seems like this is the greatest ever, and this is the, you know, we've never seen anything like this, and it's not true. And yet, you don't want to underrate it. So, like, I was thinking about it on my drive home. I drove home from Buffalo last night, I'm going over in my head. It's up there. It's in that inner circle, just by the very virtue of it goes to extra innings in Game 7. But recent vintage, I think Cubs Indians 2016. Was tremendous series. 2011 Cardinals Rangers, 2001 Diamondbacks Yankees, even though I think we all feel differently if the Yankees had won that one. Twins Braves might still be the all-time in 1991. That's one where it goes 12 innings in Game 3. It was went extra innings. That's obviously the shutout from Jack Morris over John Smoltz in Game 7. Mets Red Sox 86. Big Red Machine, Red Sox, 75, and that's about as far as I go. Then you start getting into, you know, olden stuff, but maybe 1968, Bob Gibson, Mickey Lolich in a Game 7. That's like my short list in my lifetime.
Brian, of course, you're very analytical. How do you reconcile with the numbers and analytics with it's such a game of inches? There's so many little plays that really you can't divine could go one way or the other. When you look at that series, like, how do you wrap your head around about actually how close it is and how few plays it actually came down to?
Right. Well, you know, it's competition. It's a physical game. We use the numbers as evidence to try to give it meaning. You know, like, much like in life, it's like, wait, you try to see patterns emerging, you try to see what's the best thing to do because you can get caught up in emotions. If I'm looking at it analytically, the things that stand out to me are the intentional walk to Ohtani in Game 6, right? You didn't have to do that. These are the things you can control. You don't, you can't control most things. You can control some things. You can control not putting a guy on base, and you can control not giving away an out. So intentionally walking Ohtani when Kevin Gausman struck out 7 of 9, I thought was a big mistake. And I thought it at the time while they were doing it. Now, there was also the bunt when Vladimir Guerrero in the 10th inning or 11th inning, Vladimir Guerrero leads off with a double, and they bunted him over. I thought that was a mistake. It felt good at the time, right? That this is why you have to try to check your numbers and try to see, hey, wait, is this the best decision? It feels good to get him at third, but you've given away an out. And the way I look at it, that's how I would look at it analytically. Andy Páez, you know, being put into the game, a late replacement, that's just smart. He makes this incredible play. They don't win unless they put Miguel Rojas, who hadn't started in 3 weeks, in game six. You know, and that's, you know, play. One of my maxims this year on MLB Now was play your baseball-y team, meaning play your defensive team, your base-running team. You can get caught up in, oh, this guy can hit, this guy can do that. And obviously, you know, offense takes precedence. But play your defensive team, you know, in big games, and that's what the Dodgers did. So those are three things that stand out to me that you can control. The rest of it, right, it's all hell breaking loose.
Brian Kenny joining us, MLB Network, host MLB Now, fresh off of this incredible series that we all just witnessed. I guess, you know, Brian, if you're there, you're watching here in person, of all the plays that just made your jaw drop, right? Of all the plays that maybe got the biggest response, maybe from the crowd, or you felt the electricity going through the crowd, what was one or two of those plays?
You know what? I'm glad you asked that, because that's a good question, because I had goosebumps a few times. And one time I was actually watching up, and I'm up the first base line. So I had a good look at Addison Barger's throw to the plate to get Freddie Freeman. And it was just like this thunderbolt from on high. It really was, like you talk about the physical game and then, you know, the analytics of it all. That to me was just thrilling, where my quick read, and my read is usually pretty good on the field, you know, how hard is the ball hit? Where is the runner going? Is he going to score? Should you send him? I really thought there was no way Barger would get him at the plate. And to see that thrown on a fly with, you know, Freeman at the last second saying, where did that ball come from? How is that in that guy's glove right now? To me was like just like a thrilling moment in sports. And it's like watching, again, you know, I saw these things more on tape, on film, in the old days of Al Kaline and Roberto Clemente throwing guys out at the plate and thinking, wow, we just don't do that anymore. And that was that feeling like, wow, that was something special.
Brian, what about Shohei Ohtani? How would you summarize his series? Was he a little worn out by the end, or were you impressed by everything he could do? I mean, there, you know, there's no precedent for this, but I feel like some fans were a little let down that he wasn't the ultimate hero for the Dodgers.
Yeah, like, you know, he's superhuman, and yet that was my take, is that people were getting all caught up in, you know, we must walk this guy. He has that, you know, 4-for-4 game, and they start intentionally walk him. He had a tremendous series. He slugged over 600, at least going into game seven. He pitches twice. It is unprecedented. It's, you know, Babe Ruth did it, you know, briefly for the Red Sox, but in the modern game, live ball baseball, it hasn't been done. So it's fantastic. But again, his hitting is, you know, top five in the league in, you know, all of baseball. He's probably the second best hitter in the game. He's also pitching at a high level. What he did against the Brewers was, you know, one of the top probably five or six postseason performances. But again, you know, not to be negative, but he's, you know, the walking of him, how everyone got caught up in that, even the Blue Jays, I thought that's a mistake. You know, if you're at, you know, Babe Ruth in his late 20s or Barry Bonds in his late 30s, yeah, walk that guy. He's got a 600 on base. He's slugging 800. But that's not Ohtani. And getting worn down, yeah, that's part of it. That's why they slow played him this year. And they're really going to have to be very mindful of how they utilize him moving forward. I think you can cook the golden goose. You know, he's missed a lot of years to injury, at least pitching-wise, and they need to be careful as he ages.
Brian Kenny is joining us, MLB Network, of course, host MLB Now. We're talking about this incredible World Series that we all just witnessed. And, you know, Brian, for people who have the criticism of the Dodgers, and I was, you know, didn't love Ohtani deferring all that money because it kind of felt like a cheat code that the Dodgers probably didn't need anyway. You know, they're a high payroll team to begin with. And obviously, it led the way for them to get Yoshinobu Yamamoto and give him $300+ million and kind of just continue to stack this all-star team. What do you make of that criticism of people think the Dodgers bought this dynasty or whatever this is?
Yeah, I think you can start to call it whatever, you know, a modern version of a dynasty. I know what you're saying, but I think their legacy was pretty much on the line. Winning back-to-back and 3 out of 6 puts them in a category. of, you know, Bronx Zoo Yankees, Big Red Machine, you know, Reggie Jackson A's, Sal Bando A's. That's that puts them in that group. So I think, you know, it's as close to a dynasty as we're going to see. The other part is, you know, spending money is, you know, the competitive advantage that's old as baseball itself. The first professional baseball team was the Cincinnati Red Stockings, and they did something to give themselves a competitive advantage. You know what they did? They paid their players. The first time the players were paid, because before then you had really good players. You tried to lure them into your town and play for your team. The Red Stockings said, "Yeah, we're gonna have uniforms. We're gonna play in one spot. We're gonna pay. We're gonna pay for these guys, and we're gonna sign them to contracts. We're gonna keep them here." They went 57-0. So that's your lesson. Pay your players.
Did they defer all that money too?
I don't think there was like, you know, $500. I don't think they had to defer any. Look, they gamed the system to a certain degree. The luxury tax threshold has been here for a few years. It was done to slow down the Yankees, right? You know, runaway train Steinbrenner Yankees, and it hasn't slowed down certain teams. So, yeah, they're playing hedge fund baseball. They're doing they're doing everything well. But I understand teams, you know, anybody thinking, wait, you know, break up the Dodgers. But that we've been doing that for years now. And look, they spend money. So do the Mets. So do the Yankees. So do the Phillies. They've been the best at it.
Brian, we're on in several places in Canada. Is there anything you can say to cheer up Blue Jays fans and maybe looking ahead for this team that, you know, was so close?
Well, I think they flung their window open when they signed Vlad Jr. And he's done everything. He's exceeded expectations. Everything a superstar, your big money foundation superstar, is supposed to be. Now they have to deal with Bo Bichette. But they kept their winning window open, and that was a terrific team. It was fun to watch. I've never felt a city get quieter than I did on that game 7. So I just drove out of there yesterday. It did feel depressed leaving Toronto. It was quiet all night. You know how, like, when you're in a hotel room, you have to put on that, like, noise machine on your phone? I did not have to do that. I told my wife, I said, we don't need that. Quiet. It was quiet all night. It was quiet. The next day driving out. So, yeah, they really feel it. I felt terrible for them. But they're a really good team. And I've made this point, too. Like, they've been winning, you know, 90, 91-ish games for the last 5 years. They had one bad season. So they're in it to win it. We don't see them at that level of Yankees, Phillies, Dodgers, but they're in that circle, and I think they crashed through this year.
Brian, I mean, do the Blue Jays, should they feel like they kind of blew this series? I mean, after the 18-inning game, to come back, to take the lead in the series, to have the two games at home, I know we're trying to make the Blue Jays fans feel better, but did they blow this series?
That's not doing it. Yeah, that's not doing it. That's part of the pain of it. Is you can't get it back, right? You know it at the moment. You can't. They might go on to win. Look, the Kansas City Royals lost in a game 7. They devoted themselves to coming back the next year, and they won it. But it's a long way back. I mentioned the 2001 Yankees. Remember, like, when the Yankees lost that series, I thought, that's not the way it was supposed to happen. But that's it. It's done. I know a lot of guys who were with the Cleveland Indians in 97. John Hart, the GM, Dan O'Dowd, who was with the front office, Jim Thome, who was on that club, and they all talk about that one that got away, losing to the Marlins in a game 7 where they had the lead in the 9th. That's part of it. The you know, zero sum of baseball is that you lose that, you can't get that back. So, yeah, I felt like they had that. Going back to Toronto, it's like you just have to win one. And then they were coming back in game 6. And then you spent the whole night in game 7 thinking they were going to win, at least, you know, expecting it. So, yeah, they didn't blow it. But, man, it's, you know, to have that so close so many ways and a lead in the 9th, there's no getting that back.
Well, Brian, it's going to be awesome stuff for you guys to talk about all off season. Not to mention, we're going to be right into it with Hot Stove happening and all the awards that are going to be. No, they're already starting to give them out now. So, lots of cool things for MLB Network, but we're locked in all the time anyway. Thank you so much for doing this. We appreciate it.
All right. Great talking to you guys. Thank you.
Also, driving back from Buffalo, what a hero. People think that that's like close by.
No.
New York, it is not.
No, it ain't. He should have taken the Amtrak. That's what he should have done.
the Manny Oregon
Trail.
The Manny
Express.
I could
nothing express about that thing.
I could feel the quiet when he was describing it in Toronto. Can you imagine how somber that must have been last night? Oh, I feel terrible. Am I the kind of sports fan who feels worse for the loser than happy for the winner? And remember, I tried to claim a quasi-Dodger fandom.
As he wears the Phillies hat. I love it. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Whew. Okay, lots more to wrap up on the World Series. And, of course, the one NFL game we did not get to yet. We'll do that next, M&P.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. If you missed our interview with Brian Kenny from MLB Network, encourage everyone to check out the Maggie and Perloff podcast where you can get your pods, and 5-star review always helps us. And it's a small thing, but it goes a long way. Also, the free Odyssey app. You can hit the rewind function. Andrew Bogish has some more headlines for us. What's up, Bogues?
Guys, they ended last week by losing to the Ravens and then firing their GM. Now the Dolphins may be starting their sell-off ahead of tomorrow's trade deadline. Linebacker Jalen Phillips reportedly on his way to the Eagles for a third-round pick. Bradley Chubb, Jalen Waddle, among the other players Miami reportedly getting calls about. Maybe it's just for a few weeks. Maybe it is season-ending. Jaden Daniels suffered a nasty apparent left elbow dislocation in the fourth quarter of Sunday Night Football. The Commanders still had their QB in the game, running for a touchdown, down 31 to the Seahawks. Dan Quinn's team losing its fourth in a row, 38-14 to Seattle.
To know that we, you know, off course and don't have our football aligned like we want, like, yeah, it's frustrating. It's disappointing. It's all those emotions. Like I said, we're going to get to the bottom of dig ourselves out of it.
Dig themselves out of a 3-6 hole without, for some point of time, their best player. Meanwhile, Sam Darnold threw 4 touchdowns before his first incompletion. His Seahawks are now 6-2. They stay even with the Rams atop the NFC West. The latest college coach fired is Hugh Freeze at Auburn in 2+ seasons. His Tigers 15-19 overall, 6-16 in the SEC, 1-12 against ranked opponents. Luka Doncic, 29 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists. The Lakers pushed their win streak to 3, 131-120 over the Heat. And yes, it is opening morning for college basketball, and we've got a good one in South Carolina. Queens has rallied to lead now at Winthrop, 69-67. With 7 minutes left in regulation.
Queens get the money. That's what Mob Deep says.
Don't forget, once they're done, same court, same Bonaventure, and Bradley.
Don't you forget it.
Don't Percy forget Hawkins. Everybody. Don't forget it. Thank you, Bogues. Eileen is in Palm Desert, California. Big Dodger fan. Eileen, you are happy for your Dodgers, and you feel no shred of empathy or sympathy for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Well, I don't know if I say that. I think they should be really happy and proud of themselves because they did it. They were there.
Don't insult them. Don't insult them this way, Eileen. Extra innings, game 7. You can't say we were happy to be there. It wasn't about the friends we made along the way.
No. I mean, they should be happy that they made it. I mean, they shouldn't be happy. I mean, but here, the thing is, the Dodgers have been there, and that last game, Mickey Rojas, I've listened to his interview like 2 or 3 times. They knew, they pushed. I mean, they fought hard and they weren't going to let it go. And I thought that we were going to lose it, but we didn't. Toronto will have more experience next time. I know that, and I do empathize, but they have more experience next time, and they'll probably get there next year. But the Dodgers, forget about the money. They know what it takes, and Will Smith, Max Muncy.
Yeah.
When they're going,
Eileen, I'm sorry. I got to put you on hold for a second. I don't believe you. That was a cursory, oh, the Blue Jays will be back. Eileen doesn't think that. She didn't sell me on that. That was like a throwaway line. They'll be back next year.
I don't get that sense at all. She said three times that she thinks Toronto's going
to
be back.
I think that she's just trying to be nice now. Do you think Toronto's going to be back next year? You don't think anybody's going to be back ever.
Nobody does, but I don't. Brian Kenny at least had the windows open.
Because they paid Vlad Guerrero Jr. Eileen, thank you so much for calling in. Excited Dodger fan. How about this one from Darren Ravel Pro? We're talking about buying a title or not buying a title. In the last 10 years, only one World Series champion has started the season outside the top 10 in payroll. That was the 2021 Atlanta Braves. Hmm. Does that change your mind at all about whether or not you can buy a title?
Well, I mean, obviously you can't be the Pirates, but no, I feel like with the Astros, like, do you consider them buying a title?
Well, they had to get historically bad to then draft guys to pay them. But they did pay those guys. They didn't sell them off like the Pittsburgh Pirates who draft well and then sell everyone off.
But you can't, it's not as easy where you can just outspend everybody. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I think the Mets are going to try that at a certain point. The Dodgers are always going to be the big boys on the free agency market. I also think it helps, like, people want to go to L.A. If the money's even, they're going to pick the Dodgers. And I think Shohei's psyched that he's a Dodger, not an Angel. Obviously.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. We say a big thank you to E.J. Stewart, to Manny Rodriguez, to Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, the Weedos, the Coffee Drinkers, to Brian Kenny. Enjoy Cowboys Cardinals tonight, and we'll be back with you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.